Ramsey TV.
I learned very early on that people don't want to hear from me. They want to hear what God would have to say through me. This is me as a vessel. This is another one of those example videos where I prove to you that it's not the messenger, but the message. And even though life throws you curveballs, life throws you obstacles, life throws you discouragement and pain and emotional dismemberment, there's one thing constant and steady, and this is what we're going to find here today in Ephesians chapter 6 in the Word of God, that the Word of God is the only constant. This, the sacred scriptures, correctly translated, are the concordant literal New Testament here. This is Ephesians chapter 6. I've been talking to you about the armor of God. And if anything we need today, if there is anything we need today, it is a constant. It's a foundation. This is why I've always taught that the Word of God has to be true, has to be real, because God would not leave us adrift to our own vain imaginations, to our own hypotheses, to our own ideas about how things are. Nobody cares what our ideas are. Nobody cares what our thoughts are, what our emotions are, because these things change on any given day. And so it's a comfort to me today. Once again, I'm reminded all over again that it's about the foundation of the Word of God. And so today, you're not going to rely on me. If you ever do rely on me, I would, well, part of me wants to say I would discourage you from doing so. But another part of me, of course, I want to be a faithful dispenser, and I am. But moods come and go. Right now, my mood is absolutely terrible. I had a really rough 2 days. I know yesterday's show was entertaining as hell. I don't know how that happened. It just happens. Today, I didn't even feel like plugging in the microphone, but if I didn't plug it in, it would mean that I would be thinking that the show is about me. The show is about how I'm able to do what I do, but it's not about me ever. It only seems like it is once in a while because I'm kind of a natural entertainer. I'm a funny guy, whatever. I have a sparkling personality. But that's all surface stuff. The foundation, the bedrock, is the Word of God. And so no matter how I feel, you remember that show I did when I was in the backseat of my car wearing sunglasses upside down and a weird headband? And I said, I dare you to ignore the messenger and to listen to the message. Well, this is one of those messages. I dare you. I dare you. Verse 13, Ephesians 6. Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be enabled to withstand in the wicked day. This is the beauty of the day we're in. We're in a wicked day. And this day becomes a field for us to prove that it's God and not us. It's the scriptures and not the news, not the words of your friends, not even your own thoughts. You can't trust your own thoughts because sometimes your own thoughts lie to you. This is why God preserved his word for this, the wicked day. And having effected all to stand, stand then girded about your loins with truth. That's all we care about, is truth. with the cuirass of righteousness. I had to look up that word in the dictionary, as I told you yesterday. I didn't know what it meant. What the hell is a cuirass? It's a piece of armor that covers your front and your back. The cuirass of righteousness put on. And now we're in a new territory now. I'm picking up where I left off yesterday. Your feet sandaled with the readiness of the evangel of peace. What is the evangel of peace? The evangel of peace is that God is conciliated with the world through Christ. That no matter what the world thinks of God, he looks at the world as a new humanity. Then why is the tribulation coming, you might ask? It's all part of the same program. God's conciliation to the world doesn't change when the tribulation starts. He just has a different way of getting through to the hardened world than he does to us. With us, it takes a nudge, takes a whisper, takes a guy on YouTube with a funny little intro and some crazy outro music, which I doubt I will put on today's show. I'm not going to put any music at the end of today's show. I didn't even want to put the intro on, but I have to do that. I think the key word here is readiness of the evangel of peace. We are, as a body, so laid back, so confident in God, that we don't feel that we have to push this gospel on people, the gospel of peace. That is, that God is conciliated with the world. Wouldn't we love to just stand on a rooftop and say, God's at peace with the world. Eternal torment is false. This God that's angry, the angry God, who's sitting on his big throne waiting for you to screw up, that's a falsehood. It's a lie. It's a fiction. It's a lie of Satan. God is at peace with the world. He's smiling on you. All animosity, all anger, and malevolence is on your side of the fence, not God's. That's what I would tell other people. I would say to them, you've been lied to by the religion you grew up in. You've been lied to by your pastors, by your priests, by your preachers. They're all liars. They might not be liars, but they lie. Evangel means good news. It's a well message. That's the literal Greek. The evangel of peace. We're sandaled with it. That is, everywhere we go, it is on us. You remember I told you earlier from Philippians, our message is an odor of life to those who have aeonian life. It's an odor of death to those who don't have aeonian life. The message stays the same. It's people's reaction to it that changes. So being sandaled with it, this is part of the armor. It is very strange. The armor of God, and we're talking about sandals? I mean, we're going to read about the sword of the Spirit here pretty soon. We just got done talking about the cuirass of righteousness. But sandals? Do you know what sandals looked like in the Bible days? They were primitive, little strips of leather. Tiny little piece of leather, probably this thin, under your feet, with a little thong that went around your foot. How could this be part of the armor? Because it's malleable, it's soft, and it comes from the skin of an animal. You know, we have skin on as well, and I think the fact that Paul's mentioning sandal here, and I don't think he means like war boots. That's why it's so odd to see sandaled with the evangel of peace. Sandals were made from the hide of an animal. What did God do when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? An animal died to clothe them because they realized they were naked. This speaks of Christ giving his flesh, having his flesh stripped off, and then dying for our sakes to cover us. That's the meaning of the word propitiation in the Greek. It's a covering. And for some reason, I don't like this, but this is what we have to deal with. Death, it comes by death. This is how serious sin is. It comes by death. An animal had to die to clothe our forefather and our foremother in the garden. Christ had to die to take away our sins, and now we're sandaled with the readiness of the evangel of peace. I'll get back to that readiness, but I'm kind of hooked on the sandals right now. Can't get past the sandals. Can't get past that this armor consists of these benevolent, wimpy-looking pieces of footwear that the world would laugh at, and yet this is the world's salvation, the message that we have. But it's not in your face. We're not street preachers. We don't go out screaming at people, yelling at people, telling them this. We're ready with it, though. We're armed with it. We're loaded. You ever heard the phrase loaded for bear? We're loaded for bear. We have the message. And when we see an opportunity, this is the beauty of our knowing that God is the Savior of all humanity. We don't have that angst and anxiety that Christianity has, where they feel like if they don't witness to the server at the restaurant, if they don't witness to the flight attendant, if they don't witness to their family today, then if that family member or that server or that flight attendant dies, then it's your fault for not giving them the gospel, what they call the gospel, which is a if-then proposition. If you believe, then God will save you. If you don't, you're damned. They feel compulsion. They feel pressure. They feel they have to get it out, not us. We're sandaled, which is very unobtrusive, inoffensive. It's very non-confrontational. Folks, you would not believe this about me, but I swear to you, I am non-confrontational. I don't like confrontations. I'm a Libra, for one thing. Libras love peace. We love balance. I don't like to upset people. I don't like to make people mad. I don't like to invade anyone's world. But I'm ready with it. And the fact that these are sandals and not the footwear of war, whatever that would be, sets people at ease concerning us. Have you had it said of you that there's something about that person? I don't know what it is, but that person has something. Maybe a settledness or some kind of peace, even some kind of deep-seated joy, accepting, of course, the surface turmoil. That person has something I don't have. It's the fact that we're sandaled with the readiness of the evangel of peace. I love peace. I hate conflict. I avoid conflict. Sometimes it gets me in trouble because I don't like to talk about things that I know will cause disagreements in relationships. It's hard for me to talk about the details of it, to get into the weeds, because people's feelings might get hurt. And I mean, this might sound strange to you, but I really don't like to hurt people's feelings. Yeah, I get all brave and high and mighty on a video or in writing when I'm not with people, but when I'm with people, when I'm sandaled, when I'm walking among the sons of humanity, I am a man of peace. And I have the message of peace that will deliver people from this angst that they have concerning God. But I only give it out when the opportunity presents itself. This is the beauty of what we believe. We know that everyone's going to be saved eventually. It's not up to us. We're ready, but we're not pushing it out there with a frantic insistence that unless you believe this today, you might die without it and go to hell for eternity. It's not our message. Verse 16, with all taking up the large shield of faith. Remember, we're protecting ourselves, or God is protecting us with this armor, and it is put up against the lies of Satan. And it takes faith, and faith is a gift. You can pray for it. I'll pray for it for you right now. Lord, If it's your will, give everyone listening to my voice a greater measure of faith to withstand in the wicked day, to be able to let the accusations of the world, not the world, but the accusations of loved ones, to bounce off of them. What does the shield do? You shoot an arrow. We're going to see about the arrows here. I can't wait to talk about Satan's arrows. You shoot an arrow at a shield, it bounces off. Everything bounces off. They talk about people to whom nothing sticks. You've heard of people like that, like nothing sticks to them. Like they just don't get overly agitated. Things seem to bounce off of them. Some people compare it to Teflon. Oh, that guy's made of Teflon. Everything just slides off. Well, this is a large shield of faith. It goes along with the cuirass of righteousness that God has declared you righteous. And you have to believe that by faith because you don't see it in the mirror. You don't. It's a large shield of faith. So I talked yesterday about the cuirass. I made a little joke that the last three letters of cuirass are ASS, ass. And I said, well, is your ass covered by the cuirass? No, it covers your back and your chest. But the large shield of faith does cover your ass. It's a large shield. Even the riot police you see today, which unfortunately you see a lot of them, they have a large shield that covers their whole, it covers their whole body from the ground to the top, except this shield covers us all the way around. It's like a bubble. It's a sheen. I've called it a sheen of protection, and it's faith, and it's a gift, and I pray for you today that you have more of it. I should go to Ephesians. In fact, I will go to Ephesians chapter 2 because this is Paul's greatest prayer in all of his writings. And I feel emotional already. I haven't even started reading this yet. Ephesians 1, verse 15. I say this to you, to every member of the body of Christ, within the sound of my voice, and to anyone looking over your shoulder, if they dare even watch this video, it's up to God. Therefore, I also, on hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling. All this requires faith. Faith is the overriding factor here. It's the umbrella that covers all of this. To perceive what is the expectation. It's very difficult to perceive your expectation when you're in the wicked day. To perceive what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints. Capital H, his allotment. I've told you that if you want to know what your future is, look at Christ's future. If you want to know your present, look at Christ's present. If you want to know your past, look at Christ's past. We were crucified with Christ, we were entombed with Christ, and we were raised with Christ, and we will be glorified with Christ. This is his expectation is our expectation. It's not his expectation over there and your expectation over there. It's one and the same expectation. That's why Paul makes this astounding statement here, giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling. His calling. His calling is your calling. This is astounding. Great truth. Ephesians 1, verse 18. And what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment. So we have his calling and his allotment. It's just like the armor. five chapters later. It's his armor. We stand up under it. It's also his expectation and his allotment. And we come under that as well. We stand up under that. We inherit it. You know, if your father is wealthy and your father dies, you inherit everything he has. Our father didn't die, but his son, Jesus Christ, died for our sakes. And because of that, we inherit everything he has, everything. And the only thing that can rob you of this is lies. That's where the armor of God comes in. But I wanted to go to this prayer of Ephesians 1 because I'm praying that you be given more realization, more wisdom of what this expectation is. Again, it's not yours, it's his. It's yours in a way, but it's yours because of adoption. You've been adopted as a son and a daughter of God in Christ. Adopted into the richest family you could ever be adopted into. The enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us. There it is. The transcendent greatness of his power. His expectation, his allotment, his power. And what follows it? For us. This is why I went to the Word of God. This is why I'm not so concerned about my mood, my attitude, my disposition on any given day. It doesn't matter. His power for us who are believing. There it is. That's where the faith comes in. The Greek prefix of the Greek word pisto, P-I-S-T. Oh, it's actually pissed, but I didn't want to say it. I added an O just for, you know, just to clean it up a little bit. Pissed, P-I-S-T, Greek prefix. Faith and belief, same root word. His power for us who are believing in accord with, we're believing in accord with the operation of the might of his strength. It keeps going. It's his, yet you have it. You have it now. It's yours. The only thing that can rob you of it again is lies. Oh, you don't have it. This isn't yours. You're trying to tell me that God's power, God's strength, God's allotment, Christ's expectation, Christ's strength, Christ's faith, you tell me that's yours? That's what Satan dares us to believe. But I'm praying for your faith today, tonight. I'm praying for it. That it grow in accord with the operation of the might of his strength, which is operative, present tense, in the Christ, rousing him from among the dead, seating him at his right hand among the celestials. His strength is operative. All these things are operative. Operative now. And the end game, ladies and gentlemen, is to be seated among the celestials in the highest place of heaven at God's right hand. And again, I'll get back to Ephesians 6 tomorrow. But the only thing that can rob you of any of this is to believe lies. And for that, to protect us against those lies, we have the armor of God.